Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear podcast. This is your host, Jesse, and I'd like to welcome you to the show. The 2-0 show. Go Noles. 2-0. Feels good, doesn't it? Like, take down LSU in New Orleans, in the Dome. All that smack they talk. Like, I can't even tell you how many times on the way into the stadium, I'm sorry you came all this way just to get run out of the stadium. I'm sure you guys have been on social media and seen it. So it was so nice for them. I mean, they took a few years off my life at the end there. Like, can we stop maybe doing that? But it was a fun game. And I think all eyes were on FSU, LSU. And FSU was just a better team that day. I think they proved a lot to the nation. I think they proved that Florida State is not the same team that you've seen the last 2 years. I'm not going to go as far as to say we're back, like some people have been saying. You know, some of the players and their kids, and they're just excited. And I get that. I won't say we're back. Let's win a few more games before we say that. But this was the kind of win that Florida State fans, the program, Norvell, the players, everybody has just been starving for so long. You get a big-time matchup. You know, home and home to me would have been a little cooler, but New Orleans was such an awesome city, and it was such an awesome weekend. And just to get that game on that stage, and just go in there and win with the nation watching. Like, this is what we've been starving for so long. And so, yeah, with that, we'll just talk about the weekend a little bit, the vibe, the experience, and we'll talk about a few things about the game. I don't want to go too in-depth because it's been a few days. As you can maybe tell by my voice, when I got back from New Orleans, I actually have been under the weather for the past few days, so I just needed a few days to recover. But I still wanted to put something out for you guys. So this is like my flu game podcast, but we're still going to do it though. So I'm sorry if my voice sounds terrible. But I was just going to say, I don't want to get too in depth because I'm sure you guys have probably watched the game 3 or 4 times already. So you've seen it. I'll just share some of my thoughts, but just as a whole on the weekend, there were so many FSU fans. They traveled so well. Like, they literally took over that city. We pulled into town Friday. I think it was like Friday around 11-ish. And, you know, I understand that LSU fans weren't going to travel that early because they weren't coming from as far. That has been said. But it was like 50-1 Florida State fans. And there was garnet and gold just everywhere. And all the hotels, the streets, the bars. Like, it was just awesome to see. And Florida State really traveled well. They said it was a sellout, of course, at the Dome. Over 68,000 people. In my opinion, if you want to say 55-45, maybe a stretch, I'll give it to you. It was pretty close to 50-50, like maybe 52-48, something like that. But, I mean, Florida State showed out. Like, the fan base traveled. It was extremely loud in there. That's actually my first time in going to a game in a dome, and I couldn't believe how loud it was. Like, it was insane. And Florida State was plenty loud. Like, it was awesome. My ears were ringing the next day. And speaking of the dome, like, man, can everybody have a dome? Because air conditioning at a football game in September in the South was amazing. Like, I can get used to that. So let's get on that, guys. Like, Alford, if you're listening, man, let's get some AC in Doak. That was pretty awesome. So yeah, guys, it was a fun weekend. 7.5 million viewers on TV, second most viewed game of the weekend behind Ohio State Notre Dame. I know it was like the only one on Sunday, but still, like, I mean, that's a lot of viewers. That is, we talked about it in the offseason. I think 4 million is like a benchmark for a big game in the TV world or whatever you want to call it. And so 7.5 million is sizable. And so, that just goes to show you, like, the brand still holds weight. The logo still holds weight. LSU is obviously a brand name, too, that holds a lot of weight. So that's why when I saw this game get put on the schedule, I'm like, man, you cannot miss LSU, FSU in New Orleans, in the Dome. Like, that's going to be an awesome game. And it was. And a lot of the things, you know, it's not about being right or wrong, but like a lot of the things in the game turned out kind of exactly like I kind of thought they would. You know, I went on even a radio station in Louisiana this week, kind of behind enemy lines. I snuck behind enemy lines and went on their radio station and told them Florida State was going to beat them. So it was like, and the funny thing was I listened to a few segments before and after, and I mean, it sounded like we had no chance. They're like, well, we're going to be conservative here, and I'm going to pick the Tigers by 2 scores because Florida State's just not that good, and their secondary is bad and all this, that, and the other. And I went on there, and I'm like, look, I'm taking Florida State because I just feel like they're the better team right now. And they were. And, again, like, it's neither here nor there, on the score, because you're still 2-0. You still get the win. And I look at it like Florida State controlled most of the game. So even if you let them come back late, like, this team had the ability to control LSU. So, I mean, I think you can kind of, what am I looking for here? Like, you can kind of just call some of it a wash at the end. Like, obviously you got some things that got to get cleaned up. Can't fumble on the one. You can't give up 99 yards in basically no time. But you controlled them for 3 quarters, and you should have blown them out. So, like, that makes me feel so much better going forward, because it's not like Florida State stole one, or it's not like LSU made a ton of mistakes, which is something I also wanted to touch on. But just to wrap up the weekend, before we get into the game, man, it was just awesome interacting with all the Noles. It was awesome just seeing everybody out and traveling. I even ran into Michael Alford at one point. I'm just walking back to my hotel, minding my own business. I see this group of people, and I'm like, I'm about to cross the street. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's Michael Alford. And so I walked over, and I talked to him. He was a super nice guy. I really appreciate that. Like, he had no problem stopping and talking to me for a second, taking a picture and a handshake. And so it's just a genuine guy. So that was awesome. And I appreciate that. So, like I said, let's get into the game then. LSU made some mistakes. Don't get me wrong. And FSU caught a few breaks. Like, you never want to see anybody get hurt. And best luck, best wishes to Mason Smith. I know they said he tore his ACL. He's out for the year. I wish that young man a very speedy recovery and hope everything works out and he can be back in the game next year, because you never want to see anything like that happen, you know. But it did, and that was one of their best defenders. I understand that, and then I understand that they've muffed 2 punts. But at the same time, like, Florida State made as many or more mistakes, I feel like, than LSU, more critical ones too, because when you really look at LSU's 2 biggest mistakes, which was really the only ones I feel like that you could almost say were, like, luck in a way. You know what I mean? Like, muffing 2 punts in a game, like, that's pretty lucky. But FSU didn't get any points off of that. So how can you say, like, Florida State got lucky because LSU killed themselves? No, they didn't. Look at Florida State. They dropped 2 touchdown passes. Really, if you want to go back to the opening drive, the penalty that they got, they were on a roll, and then they got a penalty, kills the drive, you miss a field goal, and you already kind of shot yourself in the foot there. And so then you also drop 2 touchdown passes. You give LSU 30 yards in penalties late in the game to extend a drive that brings it back. I believe that was the one that made it 24-17, gave them life, got them back in the game. That was huge, back-to-back 15-yard penalties when they had no offense going. And then you fumble the ball at the 1. So, to me, I'm not buying the excuse that a lot of the rival fan bases or a lot of the other people are saying that Florida State got lucky. You know, BS, man. We made just as many or more mistakes as LSU. So, that's kind of my stance on that. I don't believe LSU beat themselves. Of course, they made some mistakes, and they did some questionable things. Like, they really didn't try and throw the ball until it was the end of the game, and I don't understand that a whole lot. And, you know, that was one of the biggest factors of the game, really, is both teams basically had the same game plan in a way. Like, you know, both teams had kind of offensive lines that struggle. Both teams had defensive lines that you felt good about. Both teams had a secondary that has some pieces, but you're not sure about. Both of them have a quarterback that can run, and I think we felt better about Jordan than Jaden as a thrower. And I think both teams were pretty much like, okay, well, let's make a mobile quarterback beat us with his arm. And really the difference in the game was Jordan was just a better quarterback. Like, he stood in there and he made his reads and he made us some absolutely amazing throws. Like, shout out to Jordan Travis. What a night. It had to be his best game so far of his career. Just on the big stage, taking shots, delivering some absolute dimes. Like, kudos to Jordan. What a game. And obviously, I kind of felt that this was the Jordan Travis that we've been waiting to see. I mean, if you read the preseason magazine, you know, we dedicated two whole pages basically to Jordan Travis and why I felt he could be a better passer than most people think. I think that during his time here, he's been so limited by the pieces around him. He's usually had to run for his life almost every play. Or, I mean, the receivers just, you can tell now, like, look at him with receivers that have good size and some skill and can make some guys get some separation. Like, he just needed some pieces, and he's been healthy. He looks comfortable in the offense. So, again, just shout out to Jordan Travis. Like, he outplayed Jaden Daniels, and that was the difference in the game. Because Jaden, it seemed like would make one read and then take off almost every time. Like, I said that was one of the things that I made the strongest point of in the pregame preview was that I just wasn't sold on Jaden Daniels as a passer. I didn't think he would be able to take advantage of those receivers anyway. Like, I thought the receivers could be a problem if you could get them the ball in space and they could work. So Florida State gets credit to that. Like, DBU, you know, they held them when they had to. Obviously, some things late were a little concerning. But I think Florida State just, they get credit for the passing game not being successful either. I think it was just, like I said, it was a battle of two quarterbacks, and Jordan was the better quarterback on the night, and I think it showed in the final score and the way things were ran. And he just looks so comfortable in the offense now, and he looks in charge. You could see there was a few miscommunications where maybe it led to an incompletion, and you could see where he was trying to coach the receiver, like, you should have went this way or broke that way, which, again, you're going to have when you have this many new faces at receiver and everything via transfer. There's going to be some miscommunications. There's going to be some routes that they break the wrong way on. But it's nice that you have a quarterback who knows where you're supposed to be going and can coach you up, can get in your ear in the huddle, and then get that corrected. Because, again, to me, the exciting thing in this game was Florida State controlled most of the game. Florida State basically dominated LSU for 90% of the game. But there's still so much they can improve on, which leaves you, like, you know, just kind of makes your mouth water. Like, man, this team can get a lot better too. Now, of course, I do have to say, like, we'll have to wait and see until later in the season what LSU is. And I still think they're going to be a decent team. I still think they're going to win some games. They do have Alabama on the schedule, of course. But when you really look at LSU, like, they're not a bad team. They do have some good pieces. That's probably the second best defensive line you're going to face behind Clemson. Because if you watch Georgia Tech, like, Clemson's got some questions, but that defensive line is really good, and they're big and they're fast. So that'll be a challenge. But this is probably the best or the second best one you'll face all season. And that was the thing, is, like I said, just seeing them kind of dominate that team, that defense. You know, the way the offense was playing and still have room to improve, that makes you excited. And with that being said, like, shout out to the offensive line. Obviously, you get the disappointing news this week that you've lost Bless Harris for the season. That's now two offensive linemen. This was the one thing that we said couldn't happen, was injuries. And so, like, this needs to be it, because after this, you still got, I think there's still seven or eight guys that you feel pretty good about, maybe six or seven. But throughout the course of a season, if you have to go much more than that, things could, you know, you could lose some momentum there. But at least, like, the starting five, I know Bless Harris was out before the game, so, like, the starting five versus LSU is probably who you're going to see a majority of the season now. So you feel good about what they were able to do. And I think the bye week honestly just couldn't come at a better time, because even some of the starters we got are banged up. I think they need the extra week to get some rest before having a road game at Louisville. So I think the bye week comes at a good time. Shout out to the offensive line. They had a great game. Like, there's, of course, some things that could be cleaned up, but against the level of competition that they were playing against, like, I just can't say enough about them. I know I had some questions after the Duquesne game, and we agreed that they could get better, and they did. And so, like, shout out to Alex Atkins. Like, I'm a believer in Atkins. I'm a believer that things that you see will get corrected and things will get coached up throughout the season. It's not just like, uh-oh, well, they're not good. Like, they're going to get better. And so shout out to them. They did particularly good in pass blocking, just looking like at PFF grades and whatnot. Of course, there were some times where Jordan had some guys in his face, and I think he handled it well. But there was a few pockets back there where I feel like Jordan could have ate a sandwich. You know, he could have sat down at, he could have had a po' boy while he was standing back there in the pocket. So, I mean, shout out to them guys. So, you feel good about them going forward, especially seeing the way that a lot of the other teams in the conference on the schedule are looking. You feel like this offensive line, if they can stay healthy from here on out, that they got a chance to you know, at least be what you need. Like, I won't say that they're going to be all conference or anything like that, but they have a chance to at least be what this offense needs them to be successful. Obviously, the ground game never really got going, which was a little disappointment. I mean, they got over 100 yards on the ground, which is good. But you had Jordan had, you know, I think 31, 32 yards. So he had a majority of those. You would like to see the backs kind of do a little better against this level of competition. And yeah, just especially after the first game where you were like, oh, wow, what's going on here? You got a three-headed monster. And then they just kind of were just quiet in this game. But the run blocking, at least grade-wise, was not near as good as the pass blocking. So, you know, that may be part of it too. And LSU does get credit. That is a good defense. When you watch the rewatch of the game, like their secondary and their linebackers, you can tell they were obviously aiming to stop the run, to hold Jordan, to make him pass against them. Because they closed quick. Like, they have good team speed. They're one of the fastest teams Florida State will face this season. So you could see them crash down fast. So even if they got some room at the line of scrimmage, I mean, they could only get a couple yards out of it. So the backs themselves averaged 2.7 yards a carry. So, again, it wasn't great. And I didn't count the one-yard touchdown by the fullback, which was awesome. So, like, I loved seeing that. I love seeing them bring in a linebacker at fullback, like old school. That's awesome. Hey, you know, maybe we do that on the goal line again instead of pitch the ball. But that was pretty awesome to see. And they actually gave it to him, you know, so shout out there. Bring the fullback back, man. Let's get, like, Robert Cooper can be a lead blocker. You know, I bet Fabian Lovett could duck it in there, but I vote we bring back the fullback. Wyatt Rector could probably make a legit fullback, to be honest. So, really, just moving on to the wide receivers, I thought they had a great game. Pokey Wilson, just absolute, man, like, hats off to that guy. Been in the program for a while now. That was only his second 100-yard game of his career, and it couldn't have come at a better time. 7 receptions on 10 targets, 70% catch rate, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns, PFF grade of 84.9, one-handed catch in the end zone. Like, he stole the show. I think he was the best receiver on the field that night. And so, like, good for Pokey. You know, they bring in all these transfers and everything like that, and you think a lot of the guys kind of got just washed down the depth chart. And Pokey Wilson said, not me, man. I'm still here. And so it was exciting to see him have that game because I'm a fan of his, and I hope he has a really good season. But, man, he just really showed out. So hats off to him. Johnny Wilson is, man, this guy is a threat. Like, I can't wait to see him get a little bit more consistent. He's still got some drop issues, which was something that you were concerned about in the preseason that we had heard. He's still a young guy. He's still got, you know, he's still learning. You just want to see him be a little more consistent. He only caught 3 of his 6 targets. So, obviously, like I said, you just want to see him get a little more consistent. But if he can, like, that guy's hard to stop. I mean, 6'7", runs like the wind. Like, that dude is an absolute weapon. So, I'm ready to see him get a little more consistent, a little more involved, but he's still, man, that guy is just like, he's different out there. Like, having 6'7" receivers, different. Deuce Spam, he didn't really produce a whole lot by yardage, but, like, he's made some nice catches. And I know people are talking about, it's more about seeing him transition to the wide receiver position, but, like, he's catching it with his hands, catching it in traffic. He looks good. Like, I'm excited to see this guy develop over the course of the season, knowing that we have him for a couple years. Like, he might be a threat. He might really be one to watch because he's got size, he's got speed, he's got ability. That's pretty awesome to see him come on so fast. Michael Pittman had a solid game too. And, like, man, let me just say my favorite thing about Michael Pittman is, like, he is team-oriented. He's selfless. Like, on that reverse flea flicker, he threw himself into, like, a 300-pound offensive lineman and stunned him right on the spot. Like, you see the dude just instantly stop. And so, like, man, shout out to that guy for he's willing to get his hands dirty and put in the work for the good of the team. Obviously, you would like to have seen him catch the pass in the end zone. It hit him in the hands, and I understand things happen, but realistically, let's be honest. You got to show, or you got to throw that to Johnny Wilson. 6 foot seven, like, I know he might have some drops, but you didn't catch it anyway. So, like, to me, you got to throw it to the biggest guy that just can't be covered. I don't really understand why they did that, but, you know, again, I like Michael Pittman. I like getting him involved. He's good at working the whole field. And, you know, the guy, he's just a selfless guy, and he blocks so well. So, like, I really enjoy watching him play. He had a pretty good game too. Cam McDonald, you know, he's at tight end. He can get open. Like, man, he's got some ability in the receiving game. He's just he's another guy that you got to see get a little more consistent on his catching. He's got a couple of drops on the season already where it just kind of pops him in the hands and falls down. But I mean, because the one and only reason I really bring that up, and I know he was out a lot of the preseason, so there's some things that he's gonna have to get back in rhythm, but he is a veteran guy. And you also look at one of the best passes by Jordan. Actually, really three of the best passes by Jordan were all drops. And really, the best pass of the night was probably the one to Cam McDonald. That thing, like, I don't even want to call dropping that in a bucket, because I don't think a bucket's too big. Like, I think he threw that into, like, a thimble because that was such a tight window. And so you hated to see it drop, but I don't think Cam probably had a good view on it with all the traffic in the area. Marquiston Douglas, he's improving his blocking game, which is his role. So it's good to see him. He's just such a large dude that, like, he can be like an extra offensive lineman out there for you. So he had a pretty good pass blocking grade, which is good to see. And, you know, again, like I said, just touching on finishing up the offense, I really like the game plan. I thought Norvell, you know, as they say, was in his bag on Sunday night. I think the play calling is more reminiscent of what you see from or what you saw at Memphis. I think that he's got the pieces now and has some of the ability on this offense to call some of the plays like he used to be able to call with the pass game too, which is not something that they've been able to do in the past. I think Atkins gets great credit for helping with the game plan. You can see they build around what this offensive line can do and not do. This offense is so good at getting your eyes or getting the defense moving or looking one way and then heading back the other way. And that's something that is just – it's exciting to see Norvell. Like, they can really scheme some guys open. And it's nice to see them being able to – open up the playbook, and you can really see from this that they didn't run squat against Duquesne. Like, they didn't do nothing out of the playbook, but you know, Mike was saving it because he smacked LSU right in the head with the playbook Sunday night, and it was nice to see some of the use of more formations, some motion. And so, yeah, I mean, it was exciting to see kind of what this offense can do when it's functioning, firing on all eight cylinders, or whatever you want to say, whatever analogy you want to use. And so I think the last thing is just, I want to look at some of Jordan's stats real quick. 20 of 33, 60.6% completion percentage, 260 yards, two touchdowns. His adjusted completion percentage was 63.6, which is, that's about his career average. 7.9 yards per attempt, 5.9% big time throw rate. That's pretty good. 0% turnover worthy play rate. Again, that's Jordan. He's an efficient, smart with the ball type of quarterback. 13.8 yards adjusted depth of target. He was pressured 15 times, had two sacks, which, you know, again, against that defense that's not awful. Six rushes, 31 yards. PFF grade was 79.5. Passing grade was 80.8. NFL passer rating was 105.6, and QBR was 86.1. So, you know, another big game from Jordan Travis. And if he can continue to stack these and he can continue to look comfortable like he does now, I mean, you're just really excited for the trajectory of this offense this season. And that was one of the things, like, that I posted about on social media right before the season started, was I feel like there's so much potential in this offense that's left in the tank because they haven't had the pieces to run it. And I think we're finally starting to see that come to fruition. So I'm excited about it, and you just hope that they can stay healthy and can continue to stack performances like this, clean up a few things, because, again, you know, it should have been 34-17, 31-17, maybe 40, you know, in the 40s somewhere if they catch the touchdown passes. And so, to me, if you can put up And they didn't, so they don't get credit for this. I'm not saying they do, but you fumble the ball on the one. I know everyone's kind of complaining about the pitch play. Mike Norvell's even went on record and said, like, yeah, I probably – like, he had success with it earlier in the game. So if they catch the ball, they probably get in for a touchdown, and then no one says anything. They might be like, whoa, don't do that again, but, like, at least it worked. But it didn't, and that's how it works sometimes in football and in coaching. Like, you're either the hero or the goat, and it just didn't work. So it wasn't – you know, it got put under a microscope, and – I think if he'd have caught the ball, it would have been a touchdown. I'm not a fan of it. I think you, just given the situation and the scenario, if it was like before half or something, maybe I see it. But when the game is basically over and won and you don't need to take the risk, like, to me, that's where you bring the fullback in. Let him, you know, pound forward three times and then kick a field goal or something. So, like, the game was, it was over. So that's my only take on that, is I feel like the play wasn't bad. I feel like the situation and the scenario it was used in, the risk was not worth the reward. And that's, I think, the best way to say it. But looking over, you know, just overall, I think the offense is something to be excited about moving forward. You know, they might be able to do something more than you thought, because realistically, if they don't make the mistakes, they don't drop the touchdowns and all that, you put up 40 points. Or you would have put up 40 points on the LSU defense. And, you know, what defense are you going to face besides Clemson? Not named Clemson, maybe NC State. That's better than that. Speaking of defense, we'll move over to that side of the ball real quick. Defensive line, I think, looked good. Daniels is a good runner. So, like, he avoided a lot of tackles. That dude looked like he had some, like, you know, like he had some slippery stuff on him or whatever. Because, like, they would be so close to getting him and he would just slip out of a tackle. And so, I mean, credit to him. Like, that's his game. He's good. And I think this type of game also helps you prepare for, like, next week with Malik Cunningham. Now, obviously, he's got a lot better arm, so that's something to be watched. But it kind of lets you get prepared for what you're going to see next week, because Jaden Daniels, that was their whole offense. That was it. That's all they had. They couldn't really do anything else. The ground game never got going. The receivers never got going until the last drive. And Jaden Daniels, was their offense, was the scramble. They did some things to take it away. He still was able to make some plays. You know, at first I thought, I was like, well, I'd like to see him take that away. But if that's all you're going to give up, then I'm okay with that too, because you're throwing the ball, you're getting some chunk yards, and really he's just kind of getting lucky and breaking contain and getting out. And if that's all you're giving up, then I'm okay with it, which, you know, leads me to say that I think it was a great game by Fuller, and I think they ran a great game plan. Now, I disagree with the prevent at the end of the game. I don't think that should have been the case. I understand maybe there was, like, some Jacksonville State flashbacks, but realistically, like, they hadn't done anything all game. I think they still had under 250 yards whenever that last drive happened. So, like, why give them an opportunity now to get something going when they haven't done it the whole game? I just didn't feel like it was needed. But, you know, hey, they put together a good game plan. And, I mean, everybody can learn. And that's something Mike Norvell talked about, too, is they have to reevaluate themselves as coaches, players, and everybody. And everybody looks at things and learns from this. And they'll learn from that, too. I'm not saying it was right or wrong. I'm just saying that I don't feel it was necessary because LSU had no offense. So why give them a chance to get anything going? Why give those receivers a chance to work in space? Because, you know, they did on that last drive. But back to the defense, again, the defensive line did good. Robert Cooper, Fabian Lovett had a great game. Obviously, we knew there was some questions up front for LSU as well, and I think they kind of exposed a lot of those questions. Jared Verse is an absolute dude. Like, this was a goldmine find in the transfer portal coming from Albany. Like, I think we all expected – I think this is like who we wanted him to be. We just didn't expect it to happen so fast. And the thing that's exciting about Verse is, like, when you watch him play, he has a speed aspect to him where he can just go by you. He's got some moves, but he's just strong. Like, there's some times where you would watch him on the line, and as soon as they hike the ball, you see some 6'5", 6'6", 320-pound offensive tackle with, you know, his feet in the air because Jared Verse just de-cleated him with just his arms, with just a shove, like, he's just throwing grown men like it's nothing, and that's exciting to see. Obviously, he was able to take advantage of a freshman tackle, which was something that we said in the pregame was something to watch, that I thought that was going to be a matchup that they could win. And, you know, on a side note, Clemson had a freshman tackle in their game that gave up a lot of pressure against Georgia Tech. So you could see I even tweeted that. Like, you could see Jared Verse eating that game. He's got a lot to him. And he's still learning. He's still getting better. That's another good thing. Like, there's so many young guys on this team that are still getting better. And so just watching him continue to grow and just play, and he might be my favorite player on the defense. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I just love his attitude. I love the way he plays. And he's got a big skill bag. Like, he's got a lot of things he can throw at you. So on to the linebackers. Man, guys, this is so exciting to watch. Like, we haven't had linebacker play like this in a long time. Like, Tatum Bethune is a legit college linebacker. He is everywhere on the field. He just makes plays. You know, I said in the preseason that I felt like he was my most underrated transfer that they took all season, because the value of having a 100-plus tackle linebacker, which is what he had at UCF, in the middle of your defense just can't be underrated. Like, it's so huge, and we've seen that pay off. And the other thing is, like, the other linebackers look so much better than last year too. DJ Lundy and Kalen DeLoach, they are athletic, they're fast, they move well, they cover space. Like, when Jaden Daniels would go to the outside, I mean, they were running them down. So it's just nice to see this kind of play at linebacker on this team. So it makes you feel good about the defense. I really enjoy this group. Secondary, they really didn't get tested much, again, because Daniels kind of sucks as a passer. So, like, they really didn't throw the ball a lot. And they're, you know, again, that was something that we said in the pregame. We thought that these receivers might not get involved because the guy throwing them the ball can't get it there. And I think that's exactly what we saw. You know, you felt good about the game because they did get involved late. And so they did get some plays off, and I really liked what I saw from Akeem Dent. Like, man, that guy is just, he's really come on as a great, he looks good. Like, he didn't put his hands up for one of them, because he's like, man, 27's back there. Like, I don't want no part of that. Jamie Robinson, kind of a quiet game, but, you know, it's still, like, you always like what you see from him. Renardo Green, like, man, that guy has really come on as, like, a good, one of your best corners, and I think he's just had another good game. I think he's kind of your, right now, he's your concrete corner. Like, he's the guy that you can rely on. Omarion, it was nice to see him back. I don't know if there's maybe some still looming injuries or something like that, but he didn't really have a great game. He gave up six catches on six targets. I don't know what's going on there. You may see some rotation at the position, but it just wasn't a great game. He obviously gave up the late touchdown the last touchdown. So, you know, it wasn't a great game, but I'm not here to pile on the guy. He may still be injured or something like that, but, you know, they did have some receivers that were open at some point when you took your eyes off the ball and you just watched downfield, but Daniels missed him. He didn't see him, or he took off, and I'm sure that's what caused a lot of the frustration with the LSU receivers. There was times where they were open and he just didn't throw the ball. He one read and he was gone. I'm honestly surprised that we didn't see Nussmeier make an appearance, because I know they were still in the game with Jaden Daniels, but I think, like, they would rather use Nussmeier's arm than just have a scrambling quarterback. But I don't think they can trust him behind that offensive line. So I think that's kind of – I'm surprised we didn't at least see him get a series or two. It was crazy. I think two of the most crazy stats of this whole game have to be – that Kayshon Boutte didn't have a catch until under 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, which is absolutely insane to think about. And I think the second most insane stat is Florida State didn't have a three and out till like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, wow. Like, that was pretty awesome to read, just to see how successful the offense was and how much they made Boutte a non-factor in this game. I think the takeaways at the end is you just have to learn to close. You got to learn to finish these games, because it wasn't really just a 99-yard drive, to be honest. There was a lot of times where, like, for instance, when the penalty yards we talked about, Florida State could have if they had not given up those penalty yards and they had stopped them there and then they had went down and scored and made it 24-10, I believe it was, LSU would have been done. Like, if you could have scored on the 1 yard line and made it 31-17, like, they would have been done. You had plenty of times to put your foot on their throat and you didn't. And so I think that's just something that they need to learn to do, is just to finish these games. But at least now you had where you came out on top of one. Like, they've had a lot of close finishes down at the end where it's gone the other way for them. And so now you see, like, that's the thing, too, that I want to point out that I learned from this weekend, is the culture at Florida State. If you had any questions about it being fixed, I think those have been relatively answered, like, after seeing this weekend. The video of Coach Novell running into the locker room and them celebrating as a team. No one got down when adversity struck, and they almost tied, you know, they got that late touchdown and everything. Like, Shaheem Brown thinking that this is my opportunity. It may be one play, it may be on special teams, but I'm going to go make the most of it. Seeing everybody pull in the same direction and fighting for each other to the end and coming out on top, it just shows you the difference it makes when you have a culture that is in place. And that has a lot to do with what Norvell has built and just got the right pieces. You know, he always talks about fit and family, and I think we're seeing that pay off now. And so that was one of the biggest takeaways that I saw this whole weekend. And, you know, of course, like we said, there's things to be cleaned up. Do you kick the field goal before half? Of course, maybe. But I also don't mind going for the kill shot there. Like, if you go up 14-3 before half, come out and score and make it 21-3, LSU probably quits then too. So, I mean, I don't hate it, but I think you take the points on the road. But the whole point of that being is there's still so much room to improve in a game that you dominated LSU for 90% of. Now, of course, exactly what we expected happened after the game. LSU isn't any good. Like, I know you probably remember me saying that on the last podcast. They're not any good. They're not, you know, Florida State doesn't get credit for that. They're not any good. Okay, well, let me ask you, like, let me, this was kind of the situation I evaluated that in. With what we saw on Saturday from the ACC teams across the board, and I know some of them were hard to judge, like Miami, where they're playing a cupcake team in, like, Bethune-Cookman. They still gave up 350 yards of offense to Bethune-Cookman. So, like, their defense probably is going to need some work. But how many of those teams do you feel like you could have put in that game, in that situation, in the Superdome, you know, if you want, in a neutral, like, first off, I don't see any other fan base tryout. Maybe Clemson would have been the only one who would have shown up like that. And it would have been a 50-50 game. I think Florida State and Clemson would have been the only two teams that would have traveled like that. But just assuming you put every ACC team in that same scenario, in that same game, in the Superdome against LSU, how many do you think actually win the game? And to me, I think the answer is maybe three, maybe four. I think Clemson probably could have won, which, I mean, they didn't look great against Georgia Tech. I know they pulled off late, but they didn't look great. They looked vulnerable. They got some offensive line issues. DJ's still not good. Their receivers aren't really dominant. Their backs look good. Their front seven look just, you know, nasty. That's going to be a problem, but their secondary is kind of suspect a little bit. You know, I think they probably do beat LSU. Miami, I don't. Yeah, you know, you gave up almost 400 yards to an FCS team that was 2-9 last year. Florida State gave up almost the same amount of yards to LSU. So NC State didn't look good. Maybe they could have upset, or it wouldn't have been upset, but maybe they could have beat LSU. You know, they barely beat ECU. So, like, to me, there's not many teams. People can say what they want about LSU, but how many teams, again, you put in the same game, in the same situation, on the road, in New Orleans, in the Superdome, against that team, on that stage, would have won from the ACC from what you saw Saturday? And I think it's probably two, Florida State and Clemson. So, again, I think it was a good win, whether it came down to 1 point or not. I think just the fact that they were able to control and they could have blown LSU out and they can still improve to get to that, and you have a bye week now to clean some even more things up, that's positive, guys. I mean, that makes you feel really good. And I think the biggest thing now is responding, going up, and you got to win against Louisville. I mean, they got smoked by Syracuse, 31-7. And that game might be a little tougher than you think. now, but you can't go. They might be 0-2. I mean, they could very well lose to UCF, and I don't think they're a huge fan of Satterfield up there. And so could Louisville be on quit watch, maybe, if they start 0-2? You just don't know, but you can't go up there. You got to be able to handle success, and you can't go up there and, like, wet the bed against Louisville and drop that game. I still think you feel good about what you got for the remainder of the season, but now seeing how Louisville handled the first game against Syracuse, you just got to go up there and you got to start 3-0. You got BC at home the next week, which I feel like is definitely, you know, they lost to Rutgers. It's going to be a win, hopefully, there. Sam Hartman will be back for Wake Forest, but actually, the next podcast I'm going to do, kind of like a bye week thing, is I want to reevaluate the schedule based off what we saw, because, you know, it's always guessing until you've actually seen everybody play. And I do feel better about Florida State after seeing this game than obviously what we thought they were going to do. I feel like they performed better than I imagined. So yeah, man, that's pretty much it. You know, it's just like I said, I feel like you just look at the whole weekend as a whole. Florida State traveled. It was a fun weekend as a fan base. We had a good time, won a big game. There were some mistakes that can be cleaned up, but overall you have a great feeling about what this team can accomplish over the course of a season. You know, like I said, how many teams could have went into that situation against that team and that dome and won that game from your conference on your schedule? You know, maybe, I think Florida does play them, but I think it's in the Swamp. I'm not sure. So we'll find out there too. So, you know, I'm interested to watch LSU throughout the year and see how they turn out, just to kind of know. But I feel good about it. I feel real good about it. So I think we're just going to cap it off there after just a fun weekend, just a fun game. Just so happy to see Florida State back in the situation and have success in the situation. I mean, it's like I was telling somebody, week two last year, I was sitting in Doak going, my God, did we just give up a Hail Mary to Jacksonville State? To week two this year, what just happened? Like, did we just beat LSU on a blocked extra point? Like, so the difference in the results of 1 year apart are just so, like, you can see the trajectory is there. You know, you can see it's there. So, you know, look at your week two from last year to your week two to this year. And so I feel good about Florida State still looking at the 8-win to 9-win type of projection. I still think they can win 10 games. I still think that they could start 4-1 to 5-0. I still think that every team on this schedule is beatable. Florida looked a little better than maybe you thought, but you get them at home. You get Clemson at home. NC State on the road is still going to be tough. I mean, it's not illegal for people to get better, so people can get better. But so can Florida State. We still could get Winston Wright back at some point. We still could get Ja'Kai Douglas back at some point. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that you feel good about the direction of the team and the direction of the program. And this was the type of win that you were so happy to see them. All the hard work from the players, everything paid off. You know, some people bashed Mike Norvell for celebrating at the end. And I get it. You want Florida State to act like you've been there. You don't want to, like, we don't storm the field for a reason. You're a better program than that. But, guys, like, cut the man some slack. You know what I mean? Like we just said, think about all he's been through. And that was one thing I touched on social media. And this will kind of just close it out right here. Was, I feel so good for Mike Norvell. And I'm so happy for him. What I was saying is just what he's been through since he's been at Florida State. Like, he's been one of the most unlucky coaches. He comes in during a COVID year. He gets COVID for the Miami game. Can't even coach the first rivalry game he's in. They've had injuries galore. They've had transfers or, you know, top-tier players that just didn't pan out on their roster. Like, all the things that he's been through since he's been here, to see him get that, to have that moment of joy, like, after they won and this, like, kind of see what you've been putting so much time and effort into finally start to pay off. Like, I was so happy for him. So, you know, maybe not Louisville. Like, if you win at Louisville, maybe hold it together. But, you know, I got no problem with him celebrating at least this one, because, you know, it had to feel good. It really did, because this is proof of concept. This shows that if you stick to the plan, this is what can happen. I think this hopefully will get them some momentum in recruiting. Obviously, I think we're closer to one decommit than than we thought. But I think Hakeem Williams is in a good spot with Florida State. He was there. He enjoyed it. They had a great game from the receivers, so he had to be happy about that. Cam Davis, five-star running back, I believe, was there too. So, you know, this is the momentum that you needed. You just got to go fight. It's all about next week now. You got to take this bye week, get healthy, get prepared for Louisville, and just build on top of it. So if they can get to, you know, I know people were like talking about the rankings too. I don't think we should be ranked yet. I think if you go beat Louisville on the road, you get Boston College at home, you can beat them. Either one of those wins or both, I think you'll see a number by Florida State's name. You know, just keep winning. Don't worry about that stuff. Stay humble more than anything. Norvell already said that the practice after the win wasn't exciting. He didn't like it. So just stay humble, stay working, you know, and go build on it with a win at Louisville. And I think you can go from there because Louisville's still a good team. Like, they might have lost, but they still got Cunningham, which he's pretty much all they got. But, you know, you just got to build on top of it. So we'll be back with a preview next week of Louisville game coming up. And then, like I said, I'm just going to do like a kind of like a schedule reset and just kind of go through and look at everybody now that we've seen them in action. And maybe we'll actually do that early next week when we can kind of scout everybody. We'll see. If I got time tomorrow, I'll knock it out then. But I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate all the support on social media. If you're not on social media, go follow us there. We've been growing really fast, so that's been exciting, and you can get in on the conversation. I try to reply to everybody as much as I can on there, so go join us on social media. And again, thanks for listening. We're 2-0. We're going to have a stress-free Saturday where we can watch everybody else sweat over their games while we just sit back and relax and enjoy this 2-0 start we got. So until next episode, thanks for listening, and go Noles.